came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
Will you pray with me? God of life and death, God of beginnings, endings, and new beginnings, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they might glide easily and gently to welcome your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Tipping points, turning points, touch points. Whatever you call them, there is the undeniable truth that there are certain times, certain moments, certain happenings in life that carry disproportionate weight. There are those moments and experiences in life that cling to us, that stay with us. Moments that fundamentally change all of the moments that come after them. Some of them sneak up on us, like thieves or like angels in the midst of the night. Some of them are unexpected and quietly take hold of our hearts, even if we were the only ones to notice what had just happened. It could be a tiny moment of affirmation when our hearts yearned for it. It could be a chance smile from a loved one or a simple greeting even from a stranger when we were in a time of despair. Or it could be the complete opposite, an unintended slight, a phone call unanswered, or misinterpreted glance. But whatever you call them, we all know that there are certain moments in life that carry disproportionate weight, certain moments that shape everything else that is yet to come. Sometimes it is true, they are larger than life moments out there in the world for all to see, moments of triumph or tragedy, moments of jubilation or agony, moments that can lift us up and make us feel like we are on top of the world, or moments that drag us down. And then there is this moment that Cindy just told us about, this moment in the muddy, murky Jordan, a river that more stands there than flows anywhere, a river that snakes and bends, a river that often can be mistaken for a pond or pool rather than flowing water. But there at the murky, muddy Jordan is one of those moments in the life of Jesus. There is no question that this moment of his baptism is a tipping point, a turning point, a touch point, a moment that shapes all that is to come. Henry Nouwen, in his beautiful work, Jesus, a Gospel, goes so far to say that he very much believes that the core moment of Jesus' public life was this baptism in the Jordan, where the heavens parted, where Jesus saw the Spirit come down, and when the voice resonated, "You are my beloved, upon whom my favor rests." It is this moment, Nouwen argues, that provided sustenance for Jesus in his 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness. It is this moment that would provide direction throughout Jesus' ministry. It is this moment that broke down barriers and healed the ailing. It is this moment where God's voice calls forth that would provide company for Jesus when all of his followers had dozed off and he was so dreadfully alone. And it was this moment that provided comfort to Jesus in the midst of the agony of the crucifixion. It was this moment where physical and spiritual met, where he was coming out of the water and the water still dripped from him and clung to his skin, that Jesus encountered his turning point, his tipping point. It was one of those moments, both in what it gave to him and what it sought from him, both in how it called Jesus into the loving arms of God, and then the ways it sent him out to be the loving arms of God. It was in both this incredibly quiet and personal and yet public and grand moment of heaven splitting open and Spirit descending that everything changed for Jesus. And I believe it is this moment that can and should change everything for us too, both the ways that it calls us into the loving arms of God and the way it then sends us out to be the loving arms of God. It is this moment that Gordon Lathrop, he's a liturgical theologian, he is a pillar in the Lutheran Church. If you go to a Lutheran church and you open their book of worship, Lathrop's voice will be everywhere. He says that this is the moment. This story that Cindy read is the moment that should be at the center, not just of worship on Baptism of Christ Sunday, but worship on every single Sunday. For Lathrop would say that what happens here in this old and venerable, simple and stately room must be the exact same thing that happened back there at the muddy, murky Jordan. For the purpose of what we do when we gather here is to bring us together in community with the grace of God incarnate in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it has to involve the encounter with the creation, with flesh and blood moments, with the kinds of things like water and spirit that connect us to the flesh of Jesus and so then connect us to the very grace of God. Here in this church, we set aside one Sunday every year, just one out of 52, to remember this event that is so central to the life of Jesus and to the life of the church. But it is this event that needs to get under our skin, that needs to wend its way into our hearts. It is this moment that must become a tipping point and a turning point. For unlike the Jordan that flows so slowly, the currents of our world can so easily pick us up and sweep us along that we lose our bearings and foundations. Now, if you were ever to darken the doors of a Lutheran church, and I hope you do, but if you ever were to go in a Lutheran church, you would find that in this area it is likely to be far more modern a construction than this one. It would have stained glass rather than the clear glass. A cross would not be on the table, but would be hanging straight up there. But perhaps the most profound difference would be that instead of a baptismal font being up here, oh, there might be one up there, but there also would be one back there, standing right there in the door. Now, if you do go and darken the doors of a Lutheran church, and you are bold enough to turn around in your pew and watch what happens when people come through those doors, you will notice this. They will stop. They will pause. They will take their fingers and put it in the cool water that is sitting in that font. It is there to be a reminder a place where the physical interacts the spiritual. It is there to be a moment where people stop in the midst of their life and remember the baptism of Jesus and remember their own. It is there to be a reminder, a tipping point, a turning point, a touch point. A reminder that when we gather here in worship, that we repeat and reincarnate that baptism every single Sunday, whether this is up here or not. In the Lutheran church, you might also see a pastor wearing a garb like this one, rather than the Geneva preaching garb that I often wear here. This is called an alb. And Lathrop would argue among many of the things it does is that it replicates the idea of a baptismal garment. If you go to Israel today, and if you want to be baptized in the Jordan River, they will put you in something that looks very much like this. And they will push you under that water. And as you come up out of that water, you will hear the voice of God saying, "You are my beloved." You see, they put the font at the back door so that whenever people come into worship, they might feel that moment of peace in the midst of this breaking world, a moment of grace in this broken world, a moment where we can still see a dove descending and to hear the very voice of God and to recall the very central truth of our faith walk, that we are the beloved child of God made in God's very own image. That we are what God says to the prophet Isaiah, precious and cherished and worth going to the ends of the world for. The font is there to remind anyone and everyone who comes through the door that we are called into God's loving arms, whether to be soothed or emboldened. But Lathrop would also say that it is a different kind of moment when you take your fingers and dip them in that water. It is not just a calling in to God. It is a sending out. For we remember that all three Gospels tell us that when Jesus came and was baptized, the very next moment he began his public ministry to the world. The very next moment after he felt called and cradled into God's loving arms, the Spirit brought him out into the wilderness to be tested and tempted, to be challenged and questioned. Many people view what happened out there in the wilderness as a test of Jesus, as to whether or not he could get all the answers correct. I don't see it that way. I see his time in the wilderness as a shaping and a growing, a time where this baptism, this belovedness of God, this spirit of the dove was able to shape itself in Jesus' life, where he knew that that was not a gift meant for him to hoard or keep or hold in, but rather it was a gift that had to be given and spread and shared. The devil tempted him with power and glory, tempted him with all of the graces and riches of this earth. But bathed in this story of the baptism, bathed in the belovedness of God, Jesus knew it couldn't be any of those things. Instead, that his life ministry had to always be about sharing that amazing feeling and spirit so that all might be brought into the loving arms of God. The font is in the back of the church and the front of the church so that as people come in to worship, they remember that calling. And throughout worship, they see it before them. For baptism has to be not only the start for our lives, but the touchstone for it. It is the place we're brought into the life of the church and the belovedness of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And then it is the moment that sends us forth to be those very things, both within this church and the life beyond. We are about to sing one of the most glorious hymns of the church. At the font, we start our journey. Along the journey, because it is a long and tiring one, we must always pause to remember, to see that dove descending, to hear those very words of God, to take them in that we might be made whole. And then let it take us out that the whole world might be made holy. Amen. Let us sing.